Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What True Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Beth. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hello. It's so lovely to be back again. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you back. So tell us what you've been up to.
Oh, it's been a year. I think it's actually been a year and a half since we spoke last, because it's been a bit more of a gap between books. I normally try and do a book a year, but yeah, a little bit longer this time because I had a baby and that was time consuming and wonderful and magical. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so excited for the wake up call to be going out into the world. I think maybe even more so because there's been a little bit of a gap and I haven't been out and about chatting about a book for what feels like quite a long time. And in lots of ways, I think I feel a bit different than last time. Like, I've really settled into my role as a mum, and I think that's given me a lot of confidence. And I feel a bit more up for the kind of, I always get nervous before kind of big events and stuff, but this time around, I feel a little bit more confident myself, and I'm a bit more, I'm like looking forward to that stuff a bit more, as well as being a little bit nervous.
It is okay. I think it maybe give you a little breather from being a mom, and at the same time being a mom gives you a little breather being a writer. I know there was a lot of transition, a lot of different things. And so I think giving you that space to have multiple roles to coexist together.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it's having lots of really fulfilling sides to yourself, like whatever that looks like for you. I think my writing has been such a huge part of my life, and it still is, definitely, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I actually don't think I could be any other way, but at the moment it's not my whole self, and I think that's actually probably for me quite healthy. And I'm finding that quite helpful, and making it a little bit easier to think, because it's always hard putting a novel out into the world. Like, you want everyone to love every single page of every single one, but of course they won't, and it won't be for everyone. And that's a little bit easier to take when it's not your whole thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it just allows you to see yourself holistically from a bigger perspective, and allows things to coexist to where they just need to be in different places and different ideas. And you detach yourself from, this is my identity, I'm a writer, and this is, you either like me, love me, I'm this. And so it's detaching yourself from it allows you to put the best work forward, because actually you're not so attached to it. You're likely to do a much better job in some ways, or less headspace, less mind thing.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And I think it is tricky because every book, you pour so much of yourself into it, and sending it out there, it feels very vulnerable in some ways. And that has got a little easier with each book. And I one thing I have found that always helps is writing something new whilst I'm publishing something, because it means that I'm always like, my head and my heart aren't 100% in that one book that everyone is just deciding their opinions on and just connecting with. I've also got another story which I am immersing myself in, which no one knows about yet and is just mine. And, you know, that always really helps me. And it's actually one of the things I often say to aspiring writers who are at that stage where they're trying to send something out to literary agents, or, you know, whichever path they're taking towards publication. I often say, like, it's really helpful if you can, whilst you've got something out on submission, be working on something new, so that it doesn't feel like quite so painful if you get that no from somebody. And it's a little bit easier to wait for the emails and all of those terrifying things that are involved in trying to get into the world of publishing.
Yeah, it's dating. When they say you like someone in your date, you go also date on other people just to not put all your eggs in that one basket. Even though that's the one that you're going to go for, you still like leave options.
You know? Leave your options open.
You just never know. It's just like a more fun approach. Not such a, I have this. This is the only way of going. It's the universe will surprise you. And there'll be other opportunities and other projects. And this is not the one just because this is it, like you think it is. It's expanding the horizon a little bit further.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's chat about the wake-up call. Tell us the elevator pitch.
Yes. Oh, so this story is about Izzy and Lucas, two hotel receptionists at a beautiful ramshackle falling down hotel in the New Forest in England. And Izzy finds a collection of lost wedding and engagement rings in the lost and found at the hotel. And she returns one and she gets a very significant reward from the person who she returned it to. And the management of the hotel, who are pretty desperate for resources, get very excited and they set Izzy and Lucas the task of returning the rest of the rings. So it's enemies to lovers, which was so much fun to write. And it's got these sort of five other love stories woven through the story via the rings, really, which was thing I just found really fascinating. I think rings are such a kind of symbol of a love story, aren't they, for in the sense of kind of each one is its own whole history. And yeah, that was lots of fun. I always love weaving in other stories and side characters into my books, so that was gave me loads of scope for that.
Yeah, I love the fact that it was like a homage to your favorite rom-coms, because
it's really nice to hear you say that.
It does have the grand gesture, it does talk about rom-coms. There's a sense of this is a good rom-com if you're looking for a rom-com, and it has a touch of holiday too, so it's just like a nice little break.
Yeah, this book for me, I always like to do something a little bit like a little twist on something for each of my books, and I always want to tackle something that's ambitious or different. And I think actually with this book, I wanted to write a pure joyful rom-com. I wanted to celebrate rom-com at its essence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to embrace those tropes and to luxuriate in them. And I think the holiday season is the perfect time for this sort of story, the kind of the one that really celebrates joy. And it was escapist fun for me, and I hope it will be for other people too.
So I, referring to the previous book, you did a lot of research from like a tree investigator. So what kind of research did you do? Did you do Pinterest, like imagine this hotel, like ramshackle images of like how this beautiful like hotel, just putting it all together, just setting?
Yeah, the setting I think a lot of different places, like you say, all merged together. The New Forest is a place, it's not too far from where I live, and it's a very beautiful and special place. It really does feel just as magical as I make it sound in the book. And there really are wild ponies strolling around and streams tinkling. And it is a really magical place. And it just felt such a good setting for a kind of boutique hotel. And also, I don't know what it is about forests, but there's something wintry about forests. I know forests exist all year round, but for me, they say winter. So yeah, in terms of, one thing that I did that was really super helpful was I watched this series, which I don't know if you guys would be able to get it in the US. I think it was called The Hotel People. And it was just a documentary series following a grand hotel. And it was just so brilliant for giving me a sense of kind of the inner workings of like behind the scenes at a hotel. But also I could have a lot of fun because Forest Manor Hotel in the book is a very unique independent establishment run by a couple. There's loads of room for artistic license because I could make it as chaotic as I wanted, and I could make things work however I wanted them to. I wasn't really stuck within any rules, which is always handy when you're a writer. You want to be able to fit the truth to your narrative needs. So that was handy.
Yes, I love this. And this did touch about the pandemic, and it was just part of it. I think it acknowledges there was a pandemic, and it was not like a sense of a whiplash of PTSD, but it acknowledges what happened. And it's very like grounded in today's world, which was really nice. Like sometimes we just need to be grounded, be like, oh, like we made it through.
I felt really, and it was quite a, I think it's tricky as a writer to know whether to touch on the pandemic. I think some people very understandably feel like we don't want to talk about that time, and it does, in the flip side of what you're saying about how it grounds it in time, it does also date it in time. If a book that's set in the kind of, not in a big way like you say, but the history is there of the fact that this hotel has just come through a time that was extremely difficult for hospitality and that industry. But for me, it was just, that was where we were. And you know, I didn't kind of want to write about it, but I also wanted to acknowledge that part of why we want to feel uplifted right now. And part of what we want to celebrate is the fact that we're moving through such a difficult time, and we're coming out the other side and coming back together. And I think part of the appeal of a hotel setting is it's so much of what we weren't able to do in that time, which is come together with strangers and cross paths with people unexpectedly and be together. And so it just felt right to nod to it. But yeah, I think it would have been a difficult novel to set during it. It had to
I think we first met in 2021, so we were still in the pandemic when we first met, and we were like hidden at home because it was the road trip.
We were
in this hidden at home place, and I just remember that time to just be like, you're just in a bubble. What are you doing? There's no interactions were happening on Zoom. They were happening on the computer, or they were not happening at down the street, or just going, maybe on a walk, maybe you see someone, but chances are you were just walking by yourself for hours on end.
Yeah, it's strange to think now. I remember when I pitched the road trip, we were all talking to my publisher and said, I want to write this story about a group of people who squashed into this car together with people they have a lot of history with. And everyone was saying, oh, it's very relatable, going for a long car journey with old friends who've been there, squashed into a car. And
yeah,
actually, when it came out, it was so unrelatable because the idea of being in close proximity with a bunch of people who aren't in your bubble or in your safe group and it almost became aspirational. It was like a story from a time when things like road trips were possible. And it's just crazy how in the time between that idea first coming to me and it coming out into the world completely changed.
Yeah, in a way that we didn't expect it. We had no idea what was to come. So it's crazy. We're living in a post-pandemic world. And so now we're going back to social gatherings. We're going taking trips. We're doing different things.
They're all in the mood for hotels and
hotels. I am telling you, I live for hotel living. I am one of those people who's I aspire to take a weekend hotel and just read, just watch TV, just enjoy room service, just enjoy the whole hotel living.
Can I ask, would you want to stay at Forest Manor? Because I don't know how I would answer that question. I feel like I would love to.
I love when the epilogue, maybe when the epilogue yes. happened.
When they sorted it out.
Yes. When they sort out the chaos.
Yeah. But when it's the ceiling's falling in and nothing works, I feel like it would be maybe fun to stay there for one night and be wow, these people are so lovely and they're really trying their best, but I do want to get my breakfast somewhere else this morning.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I want to have a little dusty of the ceiling.
Yeah, I think a place that's very warm and friendly, but not necessarily that organized.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably wait till the epilogue.
Yeah, good job.
This is my princess comes out. It's I'll wait till the epilogue.
If you're staying in an imaginary hotel, you might as well have things exactly as you want them.
Yeah. So I love this. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes. What have I loved lately? So in terms of romance, Mrs. Nash's Ashes by Sarah Adler. Yes. Oh, so I don't know how big this has been in the US. It's not been totally huge here, and I've not seen it everywhere. And I picked it up with no expectation, where you just grab a book and you think, I'll give this one a few pages and see how it goes. And the writing is brilliant. Have you read it?
I listened to it. So Matilda, Mara Wilson, the girl that plays Matilda, is the audiobook narrator. And so it makes a childhood star, because the main character is a former child star. And so having a child star actually narrating is completely meta, but it's such a lovely experience. I listened to it while I was in Disney. I was on a weird Disney trip. And so that's what I was listening to while I was in the park. I was like, oh, this is great.
Oh, it's the perfect book for that sort of trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, for those who don't know, the main character is on a, I hope this isn't a spoiler, is it, to say that she's on a mission to, she's traveling with an old friend's ashes, and the journey doesn't go quite as planned, and she meets a very interesting man along the way, and they end up doing that journey together. And it's very warm, and it's also quite sexy, and it's, you're really, you feel the chemistry between them, but it just had a real uniqueness to it. And I'm really looking forward to her next one. Have you seen she's announced it? It's called Happy Medium, and it's about a medium. I'm like, I'm so there. I don't know. What a title. So good. I can't wait to get my hands on it. So I love that one. And out of genre a little bit, but The Hike by Lucy Clark. She writes their location thrillers. They're always in amazing places. And The Hike is set in Norway, and it's so atmospheric. And what I love about it is that Lucy's so good at writing character, which is something that I think it's often the thing that kind of puts me off with a thriller is I love to know the people in the story inside out, and that isn't always possible in a thriller. And I can sometimes, I'm also not good with anything kind of gory or super dark, but this is really about the friendship between four women who come together again at a point in life where their lives are totally different now, but they still have this strong connection with each other. And it's a real bonding experience of them doing this hike through these Norwegian mountains, but it's things turn dark and there's all sorts of history there. And it's, you could definitely have it as a holiday read. Like, it's not super dark and serious, and it's, she's a great writer. It's very pacey and readable, but yeah, it's not a light, fun read, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it is okay. I like Lucy Clark's, and the best way, do you describe the best way? Is vacation, like location thrillers. Like, I love the setting. Like, it's just like a different escapes. Like, where am I traveling to? And I maybe don't want to go there, but it's a fun ride to go to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad someone else went there.
Yeah.
She actually goes to all, I know she goes to all her locations to scout out and find inspiration. So she has literally been there for us, which is handy.
Yeah. So awesome. So Beth, tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, yes. So if you're looking for me online, Beth O'Leary author on Instagram or on Facebook. I am best on Instagram, but everything's I've worked out now how to make sure that everything goes on Facebook, so I'm no longer leaving everyone out on Facebook, which I was doing for a while. So, yeah, and then my website is BethO'LearyAuthor.com.
Thank you, Beth, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.